Hey everyone, and welcome to Pathways Through Romans. I'm so excited to explore this incredible book with you. Whether you're a seasoned Bible reader or brand new, this series is designed for you. Paul makes it clear, this isn't just any message, it's God's good news for the world. Romans walks us through the gospel step by step, revealing where you are in your own journey. Paul wrote to a diverse group, and their struggles feel incredibly relevant today. In this episode, we'll set the stage, explore the background, and see what to expect on this journey together. Let's dive in.
Okay, let's kick things off. The Gospel of God. Wow, straight out of the gate in Romans.
Yeah, it's quite an opening, isn't it? No easing in.
Not at all. It immediately signals this is, well, significant stuff we're diving into today.
Exactly. It's presented as God's good news for everyone. That sets a high bar.
It really does.
Yeah.
Now, for you listening, maybe Romans is familiar territory. Maybe it's totally new.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we're aiming for the express lane here, getting those key insights, those aha moments without getting completely bogged down.
Right. We've looked at various takes on Romans, the background, the purpose, the main themes.
And our goal for this initial deep dive is really just to set the stage.
Mm.
You know, get a solid handle on the when, the why, the who.
Yes. And the big ideas that make it so important, even today. Context is everything, really.
Absolutely. Understanding when Paul wrote this in his ministry journey helps frame it all.
It wasn't written in a vacuum, that's for sure. Knowing the circumstances just unlocks so much.
Okay, so let's tackle the basics. Authorship and date. Paul.
Oh, definitely Paul. I mean, the language, the style, the logic, it fits perfectly with his other letters.
Yeah, even his theological development feels consistent. Scholars, even critical ones, are pretty much agreed on that point.
Right, and the timing. We're looking at probably around AD 57.
So late in his third missionary journey.
Exactly. Seems like he was likely in Corinth at the time. There's mention in Acts of him spending about 3 months in Greece around then.
Okay, Corinth, AD 57. That timing is interesting, isn't it?
Yep.
Puts it at a point where his thinking would be quite mature.
Absolutely. He wasn't just starting out. He'd been preaching, teaching, wrestling with these ideas for years. His theology was, you could say, fully developed by then.
Got it. So he's writing from Corinth. Who's he writing to?
The church, or maybe churches in Rome. And this is where it gets really interesting.
You mean, so he hadn't founded that church himself, right?
Exactly. Yet Romans 1.8 shows it was already well known, well regarded. Their faith was being talked about.
So why write such a massive, detailed letter to a church he didn't plant? That's the big question.
It suggests he had a really specific reason, something important he needed to communicate to them.
And it wasn't a small group either, apparently. Been going for a while, believers meeting in different homes.
Yeah, Romans 16 gives that impression, with all the greetings, lots of people, various house churches.
There's that historical note, too, from Tacitus, talking about the Neronian persecution just a few years later, AD 64.
Mm-hmm. The immense multitude of Christians.
An immense multitude. That really paints a picture of how much the gospel had spread in Rome by then.
It does. It gives us that external confirmation. Significant growth must have happened between Paul writing and that persecution.
Okay, so established church, he didn't found it, writing around AD 57. What was driving him? What's the purpose here?
Well, the immediate context seems to be he was planning a trip to Jerusalem, taking relief funds for the believers there.
Right, that collection he'd been organizing.
But Romans is obviously way more than just, here's my travel plan. It reads like his master statement, almost.
A systematic explanation of his theology.
I think so. It's like he's laying out, what did Christ actually do? Why was it necessary? And how does that change everything for humanity?
It feels very foundational, explaining our basic situation, you know, as humans, and how God interacts with that through Jesus.
Yeah, someone described it as laying out God's plan for the world, connecting all the dots from biblical history.
I like that. And challenging the false versions of reality we tend to operate under.
That's a powerful way to put it. He's contrasting our flawed human perspectives with God's actual plan and truth. It's fundamental stuff.
So if we were to map out the book itself, how does it flow? What's the general structure?
Okay, broadly speaking, chapters 1 to 3 really establish the need. Everyone's in the same boat.
God's righteousness revealed, but also humanity's universal sinfulness.
Exactly, leading to the conclusion that salvation, justification, being made right with God, it has to come through faith.
Romans 1.1, seen in 17, right? The gospel is God's power for salvation through faith.
That's the cornerstone. Some people focus heavily on just forgiveness here, but it's justification by faith that's central.
Okay, then chapter 4 digs deeper into that justification by faith idea. Uses Abraham.
Precisely, uses Abraham as the prime example of faith preceding the law.
Then chapter 5 shifts gears a bit. Peace with God, joy even in tough times.
Yeah, the results of justification. Peace, hope, even finding purpose and joy in suffering, which is pretty counterintuitive.
And chapter 6 tackles sin head on. Victory over sin.
Mm-hmm. How believers are freed from sin's dominion. But as you mentioned from our sources, there's a caution there.
Right, the potential pitfall of twisting it into legalism, trying to earn that freedom through rules.
Exactly. It's about grace enabling victory, not rules achieving it. Romans 6.23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift.
That's crucial. Then chapter 7 and 8, that feels like a major pivot.
It really is. Moving towards freedom from legalism, the struggle with the old nature, and then the incredible empowering reality of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 8 is just immense.
Yeah. No condemnation. Life in the Spirit. Powerful stuff.
Then chapters 9 through, say, 15, the focus broadens out again.
Unity. How Jewish and Gentile believers fit together.
Yes. Unity is huge. The idea of one body in Christ. And then lots of practical instructions for Christian living, how faith looks day to day.
Like Romans 12:1-2, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, not conforming to the world.
That's right in the heart of that practical section. It's about transformed living as a response to God's mercy.
And it wraps up in chapter 16 with overcoming, crushing Satan.
Yeah, amidst all the personal greetings, there's this strong sense of ultimate victory, of overcoming spiritual opposition. It ends on a triumphant note.
So stepping back, Romans really does feel like the most systematic, thorough presentation of Christian doctrine in the New Testament.
I think that's fair to say. Key themes just keep coming up. Salvation, God's righteousness, justification by faith.
And that relationship between Jews and Gentiles, how God's plan includes both.
Absolutely. But the central thesis, the absolute core.
God's righteousness is available to everyone through faith in Jesus.
That's it. Not by human effort, not by law keeping, but by trusting Christ's finished work.
And you can see why it had such a massive historical impact. Thinking about Martin Luther and the Reformation?
Oh, completely. Romans was pivotal. Rediscovering that emphasis on justification by faith alone really did reshape theology.
But it's not just theology, is it? It balances that deep doctrine with real practical application.
Definitely. It connects belief with behavior. How does this profound truth change how we live, how we treat each other?
And thinking about that original audience, Jews and Gentiles figuring out how to be church together, it still feels relevant.
Very much so. Churches today are full of people from diverse backgrounds trying to live out their faith together. The call to unity, understanding, love, it's timeless.
Okay, so just to wrap up the main points, Paul, likely from Corinth, around AD 57, writes this foundational letter to the Roman church.
A church he didn't start, aiming to lay out his mature understanding of the gospel.
Emphasizing salvation through faith for all, Jew and Gentile alike, promoting unity.
And structuring the argument logically, moving from our universal need to justification by faith, to life in the Spirit and practical living.
Yeah, covering God's righteousness, faith, the role of the Spirit,
yeah.
Unity, the big picture.
Central themes that became cornerstones of Christian belief.
Right. So thinking about all this,
mm-hmm.
as you, our listener, reflect on this overview, what's part of God's good news, as Paul presents it here?
Mm-hmm.
What stands out most to you?
Yeah, what aspect resonates? And maybe why does that feel particularly relevant or needed in your own life right now? Something to chew on.
Definitely. And remember, this is just scratching the surface. Romans is incredibly deep.
There are always more layers to uncover. Hopefully this deep dive sparks some curiosity for you to explore it further, maybe on your own or revisiting these ideas.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through Romans. We truly appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more verse-by-verse explorations of this incredible book. We have so much more to uncover together. Get ready for new episodes, diving deeper into the heart of Romans. We can't wait to share these insights with you.